Chapter 1. I set down the blowtorch long enough to lift my welding hood so I could see just how much more heat the metal needed to fuse properly. I had been able to adjust the horn on the left side of my helmet already, but the horn on the right still needed a little bit more of a tweak before my helmet would be even better than it had been. But by the time I was finished with the helmet of my suit, it would look even more badass than before, and, more importantly, it would function even better than my last model. Sure, my helmet already had screens built into the interior, so I could see whatever was happening around me at all times. But until now, the horns on either side of the helmet were mostly just for decoration. Because really, Viking-style horns just looked cool as fuck. When I was finished attaching the new horns, they would be more than just a badass look. These new horns were part of my brand new helmet redesign to allow for constant air filtration. Gas masks were all well and good, but I wanted to be able to constantly regenerate the air inside my own helmet so that I would always be able to filter out any toxins, and the hollowed-out horns had filters built right into them that would push air down toward my nose in order to do just that. Before I went back to work on my new helmet, I took a drink from my own water bottle prototype. Water was the only food or drink that I allowed down here in the cellar. Well, other than an occasional drink from my bar, of course. But I always made sure that any water at the workstations was contained in my prototype bottles. First of all, they were impossible to break if they were dropped, but they were also designed to trigger a fail-safe safety seal, so if the sensors in the bottle detected a sudden burst of acceleration, like the bottle had been dropped or thrown, the safety seal would activate across the mouth of the bottle and keep any liquid from spilling. It was one of my more minor inventions, but it also happened to be one of the most practical. After all, I sure as hell wasn't going to let anything spill inside the cellar, especially not when I was finally able to work down here again, after such a long time away. The Greyville Mansion would have floored most people with the technology and workshop that I had set up inside it, but for me, it had really just been adequate. Then again, I was used to my own lakeside mansion in Pinnacle City. And no matter how impressive the basement in the Greyville Mansion had been, it just hadn't been the cellar. Now, as I looked around my workspace in Pinnacle City that I had so carefully and completely designed to the very last detail, I knew one thing for sure. It was good to be home. Everything about the cellar was clean and minimalist. The walls and floor were all white, so that whenever I turned on the lights, there were never any shadows around any of my workspaces, and instead I could see all of my individual projects, as well as all my various prototypes that were currently in the works. In the center of the cellar, of course, was my personal favorite project of mine, and that was the base of my criminal diagnostic system. There were a few giant projection screens, plus a control panel, and a number of computers off to one side for any work that needed to be adjusted. I wanted to take a closer look at what the CDS had been up to since I was last in Pinnacle City, but at the moment, my helmet had taken all of my attention. Or at least, it had all my attention until my gorgeous android walked into the cellar from the direction of the elevator. As soon as I saw Eileen, I found my gaze drawn to her so much that I just about couldn't look away. But of course, that was exactly how I had designed her. My robotic assistant looked completely human, except for the fact that her curves would have been just about impossible for any human woman to attain. Her teardrop-shaped breasts were fitted into a black vest so tight that it looked like a corset that cinched in at her tiny waist. Her perfect hips flared out wide on either side, but a pair of black leggings hugged her long legs like they had just about been painted onto her flesh. Eileen looked as soft and as sexy of a woman as any man could ever dream of, but I knew that underneath her flesh everything was reinforced chrome. Her body was basically goddamn indestructible, but even if something ever managed to beat her reflexes and her strength, her consciousness was backed up across a number of different clouds, so I would just have to download it into another body, and it would be like nothing had ever happened.
I finished setting up the shape charges inside the elevator, Creator.
Eileen said, as she strode across the cellar to join me.
They now fit Norma's design perfectly.
Oh, that's great. So now, just in case anyone is able to get past all the security measures in my mansion, and get all the way into the elevator to come down here, oh, they'll never actually make it to the cellar.
That is the intended effect. When an intruder is detected inside the elevator, the explosives will detonate when they have descended approximately 2 floors.
Then the explosion will be contained within the elevator itself. That means none of my projects down here can be touched or stolen by some douchebag, but it also means that the explosion won't damage anything down here.
2 stories of solid rock between the planned explosion site and the cellar should keep it safe, yes. I will admit that Norma's design was precise.
That's high praise from you.
Would it please you if I brought you breakfast now, Creator? It is your habit to eat by this time every morning.
That's ridiculous, I said with a roll of my eyes. It's still the middle of the night, isn't it?
It is 7 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, fuck. Have I worked all night? Ugh. Well, there's no rest for an evil genius, I guess.
You should rest, Creator. I can send all the women back to their rooms, so you can have some peace and quiet upstairs.
No, I know you're only saying that because you want me all to yourself, Eileen. Is everybody else awake?
Yes. Norma got up 30 minutes ago. Dynama woke up soon after that. And Penumbra is currently stumbling down the hall to come downstairs for breakfast.
It is nice that you have eyes everywhere.
Only because you gave them to me, Creator. You have allowed me access to every monitor and system in this house.
Oh, don't you mean in this city? I smirked. I know there's still a few systems that you're working to break into, since Pinnacle City is locked up a lot tighter than Greyville, but... Oh, otherwise, you do have access to basically everything.
All the better to serve you with.
My robotic assistant said as she fluttered her dark lashes at me. Oh, I guess I should have some breakfast. Tell Norma I'll be up in a minute so she can save me a plate.
I would have fixed something for you myself.
Eileen pouted.
But I will tell Norma.
While Eileen informed my mousy assistant through the speakers of the house that I would join them for breakfast... Shortly, I lowered my welding hood to put the final touches on my helmet. The right horn only needed a little bit more heat from the blowtorch before it would be perfectly in place, and I wanted to finish it before I took the elevator back upstairs. After the horns were both secured to my helmet to complete my new air filtration system, I set down the blowtorch, took off my welding helmet, and headed toward the elevator. I glanced at Eileen to ask her if she wanted to join us for breakfast, even though my android didn't actually need food, but I saw that she was already bent over one of my latest laser projects, so I figured that I would let her keep working. Besides, her consciousness was connected to everything in my entire mansion, so I could still talk to her from anywhere inside the house, not just when I was in the same room with her. Once I was inside and headed up the 4 floors that it took to get to the main level of my house, I glanced around and admired my android's work. There was no sign of any kind of explosive or even camera inside the elevator, so if an intruder ever did try to break into my cellar and to learn all my secrets, they would never even suspect that the elevator was rigged to blow. Of course, that wasn't likely to happen anyway. Anyone who wanted to break into the cellar would have to get past all of Norma's other security measures all throughout the house first, but at least now they would explode inside my elevator. If they did, somehow manage to survive a guillotine, electrocution, lasers that could burn the eyes right out of someone's head, and any number of other traps that my sweet but bloodthirsty assistant had designed. As soon as the elevator doors opened again on the main floor, I strode down the hallway toward the kitchen. I ran my fingers over the frames of the Renaissance-style portraits all along the corridor, and when I turned onto the next hall, I did the same thing with the Roman statues that I'd imported years ago. Sometimes it was nice to remind myself just how fucking rich I was. Millionaires might have replica Roman statues or even fake ones, but... Only a billionaire like myself could afford to import actual sculptures from the Roman Empire as art pieces in my own home. I skimmed my fingers over the nude sculpture of a nymph that I had acquired from a museum down by the Italian coast the last time I was there. And then I dropped my fingers as soon as I turned around the next corner. I hadn't even bought that nymph sculpture. It had been a gift from a particularly curvy Italian museum curator who had wanted to give me something special as thanks for a beautiful weekend of lovemaking. And since it just so happened to fit the decorating style of my house, who was I to refuse? I smirked at the memory of the beautiful Italian, but I couldn't actually remember the woman's name off the top of my head. Probably because I had superior women in my life now. I entered the kitchen to see my gorgeous girlfriend seated at the long table. Elizabeth, better known to the world as the superheroine Dynamo, looked up when she heard me enter and instantly smiled. Since she had just woken up, she wasn't dressed in the sleek supersuit that I had designed for her, and instead she just wore a loose silk robe over her lingerie. But the silken belt had started to come a little loose, so half her cleavage spilled out of the robe.
"Did you work all night again, Miles?"
Elizabeth asked, and then she took another bite of oatmeal. I didn't mean to, but apparently I did. There's too much to do for me to waste time on sleep.
"You have to sleep sometimes."
My mousy assistant, Norma, called from where she was bent down in front of the refrigerator.
"Unless you figured out some kind of serum to inject yourself with that's like, I don't know, artificial sleep or something."
Now that's a good idea, Norma. I'll have to work on that next.
"You've always got a project. That's one of the things I admire about you so much."
I know, I said, as I seated myself next to the black-haired superheroine. "Where's Penumbra?" Eileen said that she was awake.
"She was,"
Norma said as she brought over a fresh bowl of fruit to the table.
"But when Eileen told us that you would join us for breakfast, Penumbra said that she needed to go, what was it?
Put on her face." "She just wanted to make sure that she looked good for you, Miles. Not that I blame her, of course."
That was one of my favorite things about Elizabeth. Even though she might have been jealous if she knew that I was thinking about the sexy Italian curator that I'd met a while back, she wasn't jealous of Penumbra at all. My gorgeous girlfriend understood that I had enough stamina to satisfy all my women, just like she understood that I was the kind of powerful man who needed multiple women to fulfill my needs. Hell, I knew that Elizabeth even wanted Norma to work up the courage to tell me how she felt about me, so I knew that my superpowered girlfriend really did just want me to be happy. Of course, I knew that Norma had to figure out her own superpowers before she would have the confidence to do that, but if I kept giving her hints here and there about how to use her abilities, I was positive that she would eventually put the pieces together. In an average amount of time. "So, is there any oatmeal left for me?" I asked my mousy assistant.
"Oh, yes."
Norma gulped as she pushed her oversized glasses up the bridge of her nose.
I just wanted to finish up the bacon that I was making for you first."
"Oh, well then don't let me stop you. Bacon makes the world go round."
"I thought that was money."
Norma smiled shyly at me over her shoulder. "Have you ever heard the term, bring home the bacon, my dear?"
"Oh, I guess you are right. Norma's right that you really do need to sleep sometimes. We're not up against the maniac anymore, so we don't have quite so much time pressure on us, you know? You can take it easy."
"Yeah, maybe," I said with a shrug. "But I don't want to take any chances with Optimo. I want to make sure that we're ready to face him as soon as possible."
"Hey, I'm just glad that Optimo doesn't like to crucify people like the maniac does,"
Norma called from the stove.
"Or peel their flesh off while they're still alive, or pull their brains out through their noses, or I think we get the picture."
Elizabeth cut her off as she made a face at her oatmeal. I had a feeling that it suddenly looked like lumpy brain matter to the black-haired superheroine. "Well, I don't think we can say for sure that Optimo doesn't like to do those things," I said with a smirk. "Maybe he just doesn't like to advertise it."
"You know, it actually wouldn't come as that much of a shock if I found out that Optimo was into that kind of thing. All I know is that he's got some fucked up ideas about power and control."
"Well, he did try to make a deal with the Shadow Knight to basically kidnap you."
Norma said as she brought over a bowl of oatmeal, a side plate of bacon, an extra side plate of eggs, and one more side plate of sausage patties. Is this all for me?
I just wanted to make sure that you had enough food.
My mousy assistant said as she blushed pink. Norma was dressed in slightly less frumpy clothes than she usually was, but they still managed to completely hide her average-sized figure, and they definitely still managed to be covered with some kind of god-awful floral print. From her average size to her average brown hair color and average brown eyes, everything about Norma was completely normal. After all, that was why she was classified as an omni-average superhero. But while Norma still thought that meant she was just boring and average at everything, she didn't realize yet what I already knew. Her superpower was actually the most powerful one on the planet, or so I thought. And I was never wrong. After Norma set down all the food in front of me, she sat on the opposite side of Elizabeth to eat her own bowl of fruit and oatmeal, while my girlfriend reached over to grab a piece of my sausage for herself.
This is enough food for an army,
Elizabeth said as she snatched up a slice of bacon, too.
But I guess Miles is basically his own personal army, so that's fair.
Actually, you all are my own personal army. I'm just my own secret weapon.
That sounds about right. All I know is that it's a good thing that you always have something new up your sleeves, Miles. That's the only thing that will help us win against Optimo. Do you really think he'll be worse than the Maniac? Because he was, you know, pretty bad.
Oh, he'll definitely be worse than the Maniac. Sure, the Maniac had the ability to see a few seconds into the future, and well, that definitely made him a difficult enemy, but Optimo is a whole different story.
I guess he does have really obvious superpowers. He can fly, and he has super strength just to start with. Those two factors alone will make him incredibly hard to beat. When you consider everything he can do, he's basically a god.
Yeah, that's certainly what he wants anyone thinking of challenging him to believe.
Are you guys talking about Optimo?
Penumbra yawned as she entered the kitchen in a little cropped tank top and cut-off denim shorts. What else? I asked, and then grinned at the blonde levitation specialist. Oh, you look nice, Veronica.
Oh, I'm sure I must look like a mess,
the blonde said, even as she pressed her perfectly pink lips together.
I mean, I just got up.
Oh, sure you did, I said with a wink. No one else called Penumbra by her real name, Veronica, just like nobody else dared to call Elizabeth anything except for Dynamo. But since both women were frequently in my bed, moaning while I thrust my cock deep inside of their pussies, they let me call them anything I wanted to. I liked to call them by their real names instead of their superheroine names, since it was a reminder that they were on my team and not part of some bullshit organization. Like the Wardens.
So, what were you saying about Optimo?
Penumbra asked as she sank down into the chair beside me.
He hasn't figured out that we've come back to Pinnacle City yet, right?
No. He and the Wardens are still totally clueless. We were very careful when we left Greyville to come back here, so they still don't know that I'm back in town, or that any of you are with me.
It's good to be home, and it's really good to be back with all our normal tech and everything. Greyville was nice and all, but...
Yeah, I know what you mean. Some of the tech that I have in the cellar was just impossible to replicate in Greyville.
How long do you think it will be before we can go out in public here?
Penumbra asked as she reached for the fresh fruit.
Not that I mind staying inside here. This place is like a resort that just happens to be built on top of some super secret government lab. Oh yeah, like the government has the kind of technology that Miles does.
Elizabeth said with a roll of her eyes. I'm not completely sure how long it will be before we can show our faces, I told Penumbra. But I'll know more once we figure out what we're going to do with Optimo's DNA sequence that Eileen decoded.
I guess we haven't really been back that long. It feels like we never left, but we've only been back here a couple of days. While I like it here, I could get used to this.
Well, you just might have to, I said with a wink. Once the four of us had finished breakfast, we all took the elevator back down to the cellar to discuss with Eileen exactly what we were going to do with Optimo's DNA sequence now that she had sequenced it. At first, we'd been so busy sneaking back into Pinnacle City under the warden's radar, and then, after we were back in my mansion, we had spent so much time on extra security measures and suit upgrades that there really hadn't been too much of a chance to work with his DNA. But now, all I could think about was how I was going to use Optimo's own DNA to bring down that smug warden asshole once and for all. "Come join us, Eileen," I said when I had settled into one of the couches in the cellar that was gathered around the main projection screen.
"I do not have to physically be present in order to talk to you all,"
the beautiful android replied through the speakers built in the wall.
"Maybe we just want to see your pretty face,"
Penumbra said as she perched on the arm of the couch to my left.
"It is objectively a perfect specimen,"
Eileen said into the speakers.
"To be fair, it's not like we can read her facial expressions."
Elizabeth told me as she sank into the couch on my right.
"Yeah, it's still a little creepy when she smiles. No offense, Eileen."
"You have only stated a fact. There is no reason to take offense to an objective truth."
"I appreciate your logic on that one,"
Norma said, and then settled into the leather chair opposite from me.
"It must be nice not to get upset about little things like that."
"It would be a waste of time to get upset,"
Eileen said, as if she was curious what it would be like to actually feel upset. "So, here we are," I said with a grin after Eileen came over and sat in one of the leather chairs in front of the projection screen. "Now, what are we going to do about Optimo?"
"Kill him!" "I think Miles means, how are we going to kill him?"
Elizabeth smirked.
"Oh, right,"
my mousy assistant replied with a little blush.
"We're going to make some kind of weapon based on his DNA, right? Something to exploit his weaknesses. Does Optimo even have any weaknesses? Isn't he, like, invincible or something?"
"No, he won't be by the time we're done with him. But since we have access to his genetic code, I want to come up with the best possible way to use it. So, what do you all think?"
What about a weapon? Like Norma said, we could figure out any possible weaknesses based on his DNA, and then we could use that to make a weapon that's perfectly tailored against him. Do you think that's what the Shadow Knight had planned for Optimo?"
Elizabeth asked as she adjusted herself on the couch, so her hips pressed up against mine.
"That is likely why Slade had Optimo's DNA hidden in his computer systems. There is little other reason for him to have that kind of information, since there is no evidence that Slade performed any kind of genetic experiments on himself or someone else."
"Yeah, and that's exactly why we aren't going to go with that option. If we made a weapon to use against Optimo, we would still have to figure out a way to use that weapon against him. It would be way too easy for him to block it or destroy it, and if he destroyed the one weapon we had against him, we'd be doubly fucked."
"Because then Optimo would know we're here. But he would also know that we had just failed in our one effort to surprise and kill him."
"Yep. Besides, Slade probably only wanted to build a weapon because he didn't have the kind of technology to do some of the other things that I have in mind."
"The Shadow Knight's little secret island lair definitely didn't have anything like Casella does,"
Penumbra said as she glanced around, and then she gave a little whistle.
"Whew. Every time I come down here, it seems like it's a little shinier and prettier than before. Everything is just so bright and new."
"Well, Slade might have thought that having a dark lair made him all mysterious. But really, it just made it more difficult for him to see what was right in front of him. You can't work in the dark, much less with fucking crow feathers flying all around you."
"Penumbra's right. The Shadow Knight definitely didn't have any kind of tech as new as the kind that you always have."
"Well, you can't be in the tech business and not have all the newest shit," I said with a shrug. "That would be like if a doctor tried to perform surgery with a hacksaw instead of with all the robotic arms and scopes and shit that they have now."
"So the weapon idea is out? What else could we do with his DNA? Hold on, I just thought of something. Don't we need Optimo's, like actual DNA to do any of this? Like his physical DNA, not just a copy of his genetic code or whatever? Ooh, we could break into his house. We could raid his bathroom and steal some of his physical DNA."
"As fun as that sounds, we
Actually. Oh, I could swap out his face cream with hemorrhoid cream. And then whenever he started to use it, he'd be like, damn, this shit, it kind of stinks. But then he'd just keep using it. And then
you know that we're not actually trying to pull a sorority prank on him, right? We're trying to kill him, not haze him.
Yeah, I just thought we could make him a little bit miserable before then.
Norma said, as her cheeks turned pink. Well, as much as I'd like to drive him crazy before we kill him, we don't actually need hair from his brush or anything like that.
Really?
Elizabeth asked, as she arched an eyebrow at me.
Why not? I have this feeling that Miles is about to say something very impressive.
Penumbra said, as she bit her lip.
Everything Miles says is impressive.
Eileen said, as she crossed her long legs and leaned back in the leather chair. Well, her facial expressions might still need some work, but she had begun to imitate human gestures in an incredibly realistic way. Well, then again, she was my creation, so I really wasn't that surprised. Well, that's easy. I can just make synthetic DNA based on his genetic code. I just need a few materials first.
Oh, that's incredible! Like, holy shit! I bet Slade never even dreamed of doing something like that.
Norma said as she adjusted the glasses on her face.
That does seem unlikely.
Well, it's not that hard, if you know what you're doing. But that still leaves us with the question of what to do with his DNA once we create a synthetic version of it. Since we're not going to make a weapon, I think that really only leaves us with two real options.
You could make an Optimo clone, or you could integrate his DNA with mine.
Ah, you read my mind. I told my beautiful android with a grin.
Damn, those both sound badass. Do you think you could actually make a real-life whole clone of Optimo?
Minus the part where he's a huge fucking douchebag? Yeah.
But then how do we know that our Optimo clone would be able to defeat the real Optimo? What if it ended up being the other way around?
Well, that's a fair point.
That is why it makes more sense to integrate his synthetic DNA into my systems. I am already so powerful, but if you give me Optimo's powers too, then I would be supremely powerful.
Eileen would be a pretty badass way to throw Optimo's own powers back in his face.
Yes.
The beautiful android replied as she leaned forward in her seat.
Optimo's powers would allow me to serve you better, Creator. It is undoubtedly the most reasonable option.
I knew that it was impossible for Eileen to outright lie, since that wasn't in her nature as an android. But I couldn't help but feel that she had a little bit of self-interest in the matter. Sure, my brilliant AI system might want to serve me better, and might even want Optimo's powers in order to do that. But at the same time, I felt like there might be a little bit of some other kind of personal desire there, too. After all, Eileen had started to be able to feel something like jealousy, so it was entirely possible that my android had started to feel what it was like to have power and to crave more of it. When I had created her, I had made sure that she would always continuously evolve, and so I couldn't help but be a little skeptical about just how altruistic her motives were. Of course, just because I had given her the ability to have personal ambitions, that didn't mean that she would ever be disloyal to me. I was her creator, and she worshipped the ground that I walked on. Her only goal was to serve me in absolutely everything that she did. But it was always possible that Eileen might interpret her mission to serve me in some way that was good for me, but unproductive for just about everyone else in the world. It was probably best if I was the only god walking around. Well, it's undoubtedly one option, I said with a smirk. But I don't think it's completely selfless on your part, Eileen.
Oh, Creator, that is hurtful.
My beautiful android said as she tried to form her lips into some kind of pout. No, it's not. That's just objectively true, as you would say.
But if we don't give the DNA to Eileen, then what do we do with it? Does that mean we're back to the clone idea? I think it would take a while to grow the kind of clone that we would need. Then we would have to train him to fight as well as Optimo. Then we're still left with the problem of which Optimo would win in a fight, our clone or the real one.
There is another option, I said, and leaned back to stretch my arms out along the back of the couch. We could just give Optimo's powers to me.
Can we really do that?
I don't see why not. We just have to create the synthetic DNA and then make sure that we have a way to splice it with mine so my body doesn't reject it. Then, I should be able to use Optimo's own powers against him.
And with Optimo's powers, plus your own technology, you should be able to defeat him.
Elizabeth said, and then laid a hand on my leg.
Miles, that's brilliant.
Oh, I know.
I still think I could be more useful if I had Optimo's powers.
Eileen said, and then made a sound close to a sigh.
But your logic is solid, Creator.
But then that means...
Norma trailed off and pushed her glasses up again.
Yeah, no, that's exactly what it means. Care to share your thoughts with the rest of us?
Elizabeth smiled.
Right, sorry. See, if we can find a way to splice Optimo's synthetic DNA with DNA from Miles so his body doesn't reject it, then we could... Well, then we could do that with any superhero's DNA. Holy shit. You could be like a god or something.
No, especially if we find an immortal superhero, I said with a smirk. Then I'd be powerful and I'd live forever.
You really do think of everything, don't you?
Elizabeth smiled. I had a feeling that my gorgeous girlfriend knew exactly what I was thinking about right now, as her hand slowly inched its way up my thigh. Before I could talk about my further plans with Optimo's DNA, the cellar suddenly filled with a soft ping that rang through all the speakers 3 times before it died away.
What's that? Does that mean intruders?
Nope. That's just my CDS.
But what's it mean?
Well, 3 pings means that something big is about to go down in Pinnacle City. And that sounds like a perfect chance to see how the wardens have been handling crime while we've been gone.